ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की पिताय गौर प्रेमानंद और ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग और ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 4 टाइटल द अपीयरेंस ऑफ श्री नारद टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। व्यास उवाच इति ब्रुवाणं संस्तूय मुनीनां धृतसत्रिणां वृत्तकुलपतिसूतम् बहुवृच शौनको ब्रवीत् इति ब्रुवाणं संस्तूय मुनीनां धृतसत्रिणां वृत्तकुलपतिसूतम् बहुवृच शौनको ब्रवीत् इति ब्रुवाणं संस्तूय मुनीनां दीर्घसत्रिणां वृत्तकुलपतिसूतम् बहुवृच शौनको ब्रवीत्। व्यासदेव उवाच सेट इति दस ब्रुवाणम स्पीकिंग संस्तूय कंग्रेचुलेटिंग मुनीना ऑफ द ग्रेट सेजेस दीर्घ परलोंग्ड सत्रिनाम ऑफ दोस एंगेज्ड इन द परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ सैक्रिफाइस वृद्धः एल्डरली कुलपतिः हेड ऑफ द असेंबली सूतम अंटू सूत गोस्वामी बहु रुचः लर्नड शौनकः ऑफ द नेम शौनक अब्रवीत एड्रेस्ड। सो हियर इज द ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। On hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who was the elderly, learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Purport. In a meeting of learned men, when there are congratulations or addresses for the speaker, the qualification of the congratulator should be as follows. He must be the leader of the house and an elderly man. He must be vastly learned also. Sri Shaunaka Rishi had all these qualifications, and thus he stood up to congratulate Sri Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from Sukadev Goswami and also realized it personally. Personal realization does not mean that one should out of vanity attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous Acharya. He must have full confidence in the previous Acharya, and at the same time he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it. Yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Shaunaka, could estimate the value of the speaker, Sri Suta Goswami, simply by his uttering Yathadhitam and Yathamati. And therefore, he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original Acharya. So, the speaker and the audience were bona fide in his meeting where Srimad Bhagavatam was being recited for the second time. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam, so that the real purpose can be served without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation for extraneous purpose is useless labor both for the speaker and for the audience. Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Ripunatanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are beginning a new chapter. It's the fourth chapter of the first canto, that is the appearance of Sri Narada Muni. So this is very important chapter, and the beginning verse is naturally a continuation from the previous chapter. So Suta Goswami is going to share his realizations on Srimad Bhagavatam by presenting as it is. And here Shaunaka Rishi, he is congratulating, or he is going to congratulate the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam for the second time, that is Sri Suta Goswami. So here we can see there is a whole culture, a spiritual culture is taking place. There is a different etiquette that is going on even in the first verse of this chapter. So if you try to understand what is meant by culture, when we say culture, we understand it is arts, music, etc. So generally it is said that culture is the product of intelligence. And that too, it is a product of civilized human intelligence. That's where usually the culture comes from. So we cannot see such a culture in among animals. There is no culture in the animal kingdom as such. But in the human society, there is culture. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the fifth chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, Idam Hipumsam. In that verse, Prabhupada writes that since there is intelligence, the higher intelligence among the human beings, so it is very natural that there are different forms of arts, there is music, there are different forms of science. So it is natural product of human intelligence. It is natural product of civilized human intelligence. Now, when we say there is this kind of culture in Kali Yuga, especially in this material creation, especially in this age of Kali, this culture is pretty gross because it is based on bodily conception of life. So one time, Gandhi visited Britain. So it was for some political affair. And one of the reporters asked Gandhi this question, what do you think about British culture? So Gandhi said that, I wish there were a culture. So in modern civilization, even if we say there is a culture, that is based on gross bodily conception. And to some degree, towards the mind. But as such, there is no spiritual culture. Now, if we talk about the gross culture, that's what is, if we attribute this as culture, then there is some kind of culture in the animal kingdom also. The most powerful is respected. Maybe the lion, or who can kill other animals and eat, are respected. You know, the law of the jungle. Whoever is the fittest, whoever is the strongest, is respected. That's a kind of culture out of fear. Even though that's not of any high standard, it's just animalistic. And when the power is lost, there is no more respect. It's like many wild animals, which are actually hunting to live at the old age, they die out of starvation because they can't hunt anymore. So power is gone and then it is finished. Similarly, there is that kind of culture in this world that is pretty much based on the gross body. We can see the power is always respected. And the source of power is in this world is economics. If one has a lot of money, then he is respected. And if somebody doesn't have any money, it is considered something wrong with him. So the big nations are respected and they have power based on economics. So this is another kind of culture which is again pretty gross. We can see even in social dealings or in diplomatic dealings among countries, there is certain kind of culture, there is certain kind of rituals that is being performed. So if there is a diplomatic visit of head of a nation to another country, there is a certain kind of protocols that needs to be followed. Otherwise it is considered an offense. It is just like this culture or these rituals are not exclusively for a spiritual society. Rather, we can see that even in the mundane civilization. Because if a president of a country is visiting another country, there are certain rules who must be present to welcome him. And if they don't follow that, then there is problem in the bilateral relationship. So this is not exclusively for us, but it is there outside because there is some kind of intelligence. There is some intelligence for everyone. And when it is spiritual intelligence, then it actually comes to the platform of spiritual etiquettes, Vaishnava etiquettes, there is spiritual culture, in which we are actually performing the devotional service. Then what one could ask this question, why there is certain kind of etiquette, why there is a kind of behavior that we follow in performing certain devotional activity. So we can understand that even in the spiritual world, there is culture. There is a spiritual culture is perfectly present in the spiritual world. There are perfect etiquettes in the spiritual world. It is not just whatever we can do. It is not just gross. It is completely on the spiritual platform. Now, we can see this thing in this particular conversation here. That is the qualification of the congratulator. In this assembly, Shavanaka Rishi got up to congratulate Suta Goswami. And here the qualification are mentioned as three. One is he is learned. He is the leader of the assembly, and also he is elderly. So here these are the three qualifications mentioned to speak in an assembly. Now we could think, why such an etiquette is followed? Here we can see this, actually our devotional service is rooted on this spiritual culture, on this Vedic culture. So we can see the practical application of this. Say if somebody is singing Guru Puja, if someone is leading Guru Puja, one time Srila Prabhupada was present and a very junior devotee was leading Guru Puja. Then Srila Prabhupada said, no, the senior devotee must lead Guru Puja. And generally, if there is a lot of devotees and in an assembly, who must address the assembly? That is the most senior person in terms of devotional qualifications, as it is mentioned here. So, and of course, if we ask, why am I speaking in this assembly? I may not follow any of these qualifications. But the point is, we are actually ordained or entrusted by the authority. So we do follow the authorities. So that's the reason we have a roster. So the authorities decide who to speak. In that case, we can speak. See? So always, we respect the seniority in terms of devotional qualification. I was here in Melbourne and one time there was a senior devotee, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, as well as a sannyasi. Then, the etiquette is always who must speak. Actually, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, he should speak. That is the etiquette. So, actually, the sannyasi, he waited for the Srila Prabhupada's disciple's sanction to speak. He had to give a Bhagavatam class. So, that is the proper etiquette. And at the same time, it applies to many things. Even when we are offering lamp to Srila Prabhupada and when we are giving to, passing on to other devotees, we actually follow the etiquette. That is, we first try to give to the senior devotees and then junior, like that. It doesn't mean we are practical. It doesn't mean that, you know, we are actually counting in this room. If there are 10 people, what is the seniority? And then, you know, there's an algorithm. It is called traveling postman. You know, to best route. When you had to deliver something among 10 or 100 people, among people, then what is the best route? So we cannot do that. That's not practical. But we do follow seniority. And then proper seniority to some degree. And then we just keep going. So that is the proper etiquette. We respect who are spiritually advanced. At the same time, we cannot demand respect. Say due to some reason, somebody forgot a senior person, then it's not proper to demand. Okay, you know, why? Shouldn't get agitated because of that reason. One should just take it easy. That is also there. And also when we consider seniority, one may think, okay, I got initiated maybe 1 year back, so I am senior. Or in a 6 months back, so I am senior. Or even in the same yagya, my name was called out first, not his name, so I am senior. So these are actually, we are demanding respect. So we shouldn't demand respect, even though in our spiritual community we have to have that respect and we have to follow the etiquette, but we shouldn't demand based on these minor things. So there is a very beautiful illustration of this point, that is how seniority in terms of spiritual qualification is respected. It is very nicely illustrated in Srimad Bhagavatam in third canto. So this is a context where Vidura, Mahatma Vidura, he left Kauravas. He left his kingdom and he went traveling. Why he left? As we can see, there are two sides of this incident. On one side, Duryodhan started insulting Vidura for giving him good advice. So Duryodhana used the word Dasiputra. Dasiputra means son of a maid servant. So Duryodhana addressed Vidura as Dasiputra, which is not a proper form of addressing, even though he gave such a nice advice not to harm Pandavas. So there's no point advising such a wicked person. So he didn't take it in the right way, rather he abused Vidura. And Vidura saw acting of two energies simultaneously at that incident. One energy was Krishna's Maya Shakti, illusory energy, and the other Shakti was Krishna's Andaranga Shakti, Krishna's internal potency. So he saw how Duryodhan was agitated by the illusory energy of Krishna, by Maya, how he was bewildered by Maya, but at the same time, for Vidura, he was present himself in the internal potency of Krishna. Mahatmanastu mam partha devim prakritim ashrutaha. So he was situated in the internal potency of Krishna. So he saw this incident as arrangement of Krishna, and he took this opportunity. He left his bow and arrow in the assembly and he left immediately. And he went traveling. And he traveled for many years. And travel of Vidura is not of our Maya travel, because travel is very famous in this world. Many people want to travel around the globe. They visit so many countries. But that is just out of sense gratification. That is just in Maya. Still, Vidura, his consciousness was completely fixed in Krishna, and he was just traveling in search of Absolute. He was simply worshipping the Supreme Lord by visiting holy places. And he did travel for many years. And ultimately, he reached the banks of Yamuna. And on the bank of Yamuna, he saw Uddhava. Uddhava was worshipping Krishna, and he understood the departure of Lord Krishna from Uddhava, and both Uddhava and Vidura was very morose to hear this. And at that point, Vidura asked questions to Uddhava regarding Krishna and his pastimes. As it is mentioned in the third canto, as he heard these questions, Uddhava started going into ecstasy. He actually went into a trance, and his meditation went deeper and deeper, thinking about Krishna. Because we had to understand Uddhava's position. Uddhava was just associating with Krishna all the way. And Krishna gave him his final instruction to go to Badrikashram and to pass the message about Krishna, about his teachings, to sages of Badrikashram. This was the position. And then he left Prabhasa Kshetra and he reached Yamuna on the way to Himalaya to reach Badrikashram. And at this point, when Vidura asked this question about Krishna, Uddhava was thinking about Krishna very deeply. And he narrated pastimes of Krishna within Vrindavan and outside Vrindavan. So these are the two chapters of third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapters 2 and 3. Krishna's pastimes within Vrindavan and outside Vrindavan. And after hearing this pastime, Vidura got so inspired. So it is very natural when we hear from a very senior Vaishnava, when we hear from spiritual masters, we get so inspired. And it is very natural for a devotee to feel that, okay, I should get initiated by such a senior Vaishnava. It's very natural. Many of us got initiated by hearing wonderful lectures, hearing their instruction, hearing their presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. We get so inspired and we take shelter of such spiritual masters. It's very natural. And now, the same thing happened to Vidura also. Vidura wanted to take shelter of Uddhava. He wanted to be initiated by Uddhava. However, Uddhava said no. So in this context, Srila Prabhupada explains. Uddhava said, "You may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world." So here, even though Uddhava was highly qualified, we know how Uddhava is qualified. Uddhava is Mantri Raj. He could counsel Krishna himself as a service. Even though the Lord doesn't need any advice, but Uddhava used to advise him because Krishna asked. So one time Uddhava said, "Actually, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever you say, that is Veda. However, if you ask me to advise, then I should do that." So this is the mood in which Uddhava was advising Krishna. Now, in Bhagavatam, there are three great servants of Krishna mentioned. Haridasas. One is Yudhishthira Maharaj, one is Uddhava, and third is Giriraj. So there are three Haridasas. So we can see Uddhava is particularly addressed as Haridas, dear servant of Krishna. So this is the qualification of Uddhava, and he was personally trained by Krishna by sending Uddhava to Vrindavan to learn from Braj Gopis, to learn about the peak of devotional service. So by all respects, Uddhava was completely qualified. However, Uddhava said no. And he asked Vidura to go to Maitreya Muni. And hear the instructions of Personality of Godhead from him. And Srila Prabhupada mentions, there is a very important point for us to learn from here. So I will read the purport. Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be careful about the offense of Maryada Vyatikrama. So there is an offense known as Maryada Vyatikrama, or impertinently surpassing a great personality. According to scriptural injunctions, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of Maryada Vyatikrama, because by so doing, one loses his duration of life, his opulence, fame and piety and the blessings of all the world. So, this is the punishment, this is the problem with Maryada Vyatikrama, that is transgressing or surpassing a senior Vaishnava. So this is the law that is given here. And Prabhupada mentioned, Uddhava was very much aware of this. And Uddhava and Vidura, if we consider, Vidura's age was almost like the father of Uddhava. He was as aged as his father. So Uddhava particularly didn't want to instruct Vidura. That is one point. Second was, nearby Maitreya Muni was present. And Maitreya Muni was also spiritually advanced. And also he heard directly from Krishna himself before his departure. So due to these two reasons, Uddhava said, no, you must go to Maitreya Muni. And Vidura, of course, accepted and he got instructions from Maitreya Muni. So we can see the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya Muni in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada further elaborates this point. He says, the rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. This is the rule. That is, even though one is very competent and even though one is very well versed, still in presence of a higher authority, one shouldn't impart such instructions. One should let the higher authority speak rather than speaking ourselves. So this is one point we can actually think about, and we can be very careful to avoid this offense of Maryada Vyatikrama. And we can see here in this particular purport, that is what I read is from 3rd canto, 4th chapter, verse number 26, Uddhava's conversation to Vidura. Now, here we can see Shyamanakarishi, he is qualified by age, by his learning, and also he is the leader of the assembly, and also he is realized, so he spoke and he congratulated Suta Goswami. We can see the etiquettes or the activities in the spiritual world. If we talk about the spiritual world, we know the spiritual world, it's very interesting. It is, Brahma Samhita says, it is Katha Ganam Natyam Gamanam. So spiritual world is such that Katha Ganam, whatever, each word is like a song. So each word is song. And each step is dance. Natyam Gamanam. So this is the position of the spiritual world. So there is eternal singing and there is eternal dancing going on in the spiritual abode. So much of artistry is going on in the spiritual world. So we can see that is the perfection of etiquettes. It's a perfection of spiritual culture. So Krishna also followed such culture. We can see one of the qualities of Krishna is he is gentle. So one time during the Rajasuya sacrifice, Maharaj Yudhishthir was coming in the chariot and Krishna was present. And Krishna treated Maharaj Yudhishthir as his elder brother and king. So even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he treated him as his elder person. So he actually paid obeisances before even Yudhishthir Maharaj could get off from the chariot. So this is the way Krishna himself followed the etiquettes. So this is the point. So Krishna himself followed the etiquettes in his dealings with his devotees. Now, another point that is mentioned very clearly in this purport is about realization. What is realization and how important it is? So if you talk about realization, all these great sages, they were completely realized in the transcendental science. We can know about Srila Vyasadeva after him being instructed by Sri Narada Muni. Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam and he had realization of the whole knowledge. So he meditated on the Absolute and he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead along with his multifarious energies, along with his external energy. So he completely realized the instructions of Sri Narada Muni and then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, Sri Vyasadeva taught Srimad Bhagavatam to his son Sukadeva Goswami. And he was already on Atmaram platform. And when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, he also completely realized Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, Suta Goswami was present in that assembly. And there we can see that he heard Srimad Bhagavatam and then he meditated on Srimad Bhagavatam to realize it for many, many years. And after realizing that, he spoke, Suta Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages headed by Shravanaka Rishi. So in the whole disciplic succession, when we see that the acharyas were completely realized in the science of Srimad Bhagavatam. And now, here Srila Prabhupada mentions what is actually meant by realized. So Srila Prabhupada says that if one is actually realized means, he should be able to present this knowledge according to time, place and circumstances such that it makes sense at the current point. This is realization. If one is not realized, then one cannot actually present in such a way. So if one is not realized, we may start speaking and people start sleeping. So this is particularly, or some people can sleep anyway, that's a different story. But so Prabhupada mentions a very important point. It has to be interesting. And how it has to be interesting? So it is mentioned that one should have full faith in the previous acharyas and one should only present what is presented by the acharyas, but at the same time it has to be presented in an interesting way. So this is a challenge for any speakers of spiritual knowledge. It's not very easy. One can speak something. So realization is not just like being, often we say, we have to repeat whatever we have heard from the spiritual master. So when we say we have to repeat, it is not like parrot kind of, repetition. Parrot repetition means, there is a, in computer we have the software which can read the document in a PDF document, or you can speak, then it starts speaking. That is exactly like parrot kind of repetition. No, that is not meant. One should understand, one should realize according to one's capacity. As first kind of, same kind of Srimad Bhagavatam mentions this point, that is, one can speak on Srimad Bhagavatam as much as one's realization allows. Even the previous verse mentioned, yathatitam yathamati. That is one point. Also, Suta Goswami gives an example of an eagle. A bird can fly in the sky according to its capacity. In the same way, one can speak about Krishna according to one's realization. One cannot speak more than that. We are limited. So at least we should speak according to our capacity, according to our realizations. Now, Prabhupada makes a very important point in this purport. That is, the original purpose of the text must be maintained. What does that mean? Well, the original purpose of the text must be maintained. So we can see positive and the negative. What is positive? We can see Prabhupada's purport. If we pick any purport of Srila Prabhupada, we can hear about Krishna. We can understand that bhakti is the ultimate process and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are servant of Krishna. We can understand this point, if you read any chapter of Bhagavad Gita, whether first chapter, second chapter, third, fourth, up till 18th chapter, you read anywhere, you can get this message straight away. Why Srila Prabhupada mentions this point so importantly and so many times? Because this is the purpose. So we don't want to lose the focus. And the acharyas are so careful in writing that the purpose is not lost. So I was hearing other day about a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. This commentary is particularly talking about the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where it is mentioned about a yogi who is going to forest and he is sitting on a kusha grass, and the whole description is the kusha grass, the cloth and the deer skin, and you know, shucho deshe pradishtaham, sitam asanam asana, all those kind of things. You know, you had to go to a clean place, you had to put a deer skin on top of that, a kusha grass on top of that, a soft cloth, and the whole description is there. So this particular commentator, he gave two or three pages of commentary on the significance of kusha grass and deer skin. Okay, so this is the kind of purport one could write, and where the purpose is lost. Ultimately, the purpose is to control the mind and to fix the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If that is not present, then there is no significance to kusha grass, there is no significance to deer skin, there is no significance to the sitting erect, breathing upside down, whatever. There is no significance for anything if Krishna is missing. So this is the problem with many of the commentators, this is the problem with many of the lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam, where they make a cultural show of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is mentioned somewhere, when they present Srimad Bhagavatam, and if it is or Ramayana or whatever, when it goes through a sad section of a scripture, sad section, say, there are sad sections even in Bhagavatam, say Krishna is leaving or you know, something, sad section, the group of orchestra is there around, the band is playing, and they have violin, nice violin playing, you know, to produce some sad sound, melancholy, and you know, the whole, and the speaker is speaking in a very sad tone, and the whole music, and you know, then people are crying, you know, so this is not the whole purpose, it is a fact. So this is there. This is not the actual purpose of presenting Srimad Bhagavatam, to make a show. So I have seen this kind of Bhagavatam recitations with a lot of musical instruments. So they think that is the real art, but that's not the real art. Real art is to glorify Krishna. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he emphasized this point very much. If someone writes an article for their magazine, I think Vaishnava Toshini or whichever magazine they were running, Nadia Prakash, there were different magazines run by Bhaktisiddhanta. One was a daily newspaper and one was a monthly publication. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he used to count how many times Krishna's names were mentioned in that article. Then he would say, oh yes, this is good. Okay, you can publish this. Because this many times, people will repeat Krishna's name. So this is a good article. Similarly, we know by the example of Srila Prabhupada also, even some derogatory articles were published against Hare Krishna movement in the newspaper. Since the Hare Krishna was mentioned many times, Prabhupada said, that's okay. At least, maybe you know, thousands of people would read this name Hare Krishna. So, they are getting Agyata Sukriti. Some kind of Sukriti they are getting because they are associating with the holy name of the Lord. So, this is very, very interesting. How they never deviated from the crux. They never deviated from the central point of the scripture. So we also have to be very careful in presenting. That is, we do not deviate from the main point, that is Krishna. At least we should mention that point. Okay, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And bhakti is the process. And we are simply His servants. So that is the real knowledge. So we had to present the real knowledge. And we do not try to surpass our acharyas. So it's mentioned, no one should screw out new meanings to show one's learning and to surpass previous acharyas. One day I was distributing books and I was presenting Bhagavad Gita. So one kind of elderly, kind of a learned man came, a Western person, Australian, and he mentioned that, I know about Eastern philosophy. In Eastern philosophy, you do not challenge your master. You accept whatever the master is presenting. But that is not our culture, he said. Our culture is finally, one should first learn from the master, one should understand everything, and that finally the end is one should challenge the master and reject the master. This is the conclusion. He said that is our way of doing it. Then we will understand the actual truth. Because otherwise everyone would understand the same thing. There is no variety. But in this case, we can understand newer things because we are challenging the master and we are rejecting the master. So we get something new. So he was mentioning to me, I said, I don't think that's correct. And not only that, the absolute can accommodate everyone. We are unique and we can understand the absolute, or we can develop relationship to the absolute in a unique way. You see? Even without surpassing anyone. We have every individual has a unique connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna without challenging the acharyas. So everyone is worshipping Krishna, but everyone has a unique relation. So, in one sense, we are not rejecting the acharya. At the same time, we are getting relationship with Krishna because by the mercy of the acharyas and by the mercy of Krishna. So, this is the difference. We accept their mercy and they reject that. And when we say, when we actually speak with realization, it becomes refreshed. The knowledge, even the same point, when we present with our own realization, then the point is actually illuminated and become refreshed. It becomes newer and newer. That is the nature of transcendental knowledge. Navam, navam. Again, newer and newer. Now, here the qualification of the speaker is mentioned, and also there is qualification for the listener. As we heard yesterday's lecture, that is, the listener has to listen with rapt attention. Means one has to be very focused, and one should think, okay, what can I get out of this lecture? So if there is no rapt attention, or if there is no interest from the audience, that doesn't inspire the speaker. It's a practical thing. The speaker should inspire the audience, and at the same time, the audience can actually inspire the speaker. There is that connection. And it is interesting that many times, if the audience are very enthusiastic, then Krishna actually helps the speaker to speak something wonderful. So it is a two-sided. It's not just one side. So that is the actual right combination, is the speaker is qualified and also the audience is qualified. Then there is a proper exchange of Krishna katha. Otherwise it can be one-sided, where the speaker is either not qualified or the audience is not qualified. Anyway, in either case, we have to try our best to speak as well as to listen. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. I don't. Not really. That is a bit of exaggeration. Anyway, I take it as an encouragement. Okay, that is a very good point. This is exactly that Western gentleman who was presenting this point. This is exactly matching the impersonal argument also. According to impersonalists, they are God, ultimately. That is the conclusion. In short, they are God. So, they hear from their spiritual master. They submissively listen. They submissively do service. As Bhagavad Gita says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshyandite jnanam jnanina tattvadarshinaha. I don't know their guru is tattvadarshinaha. Anyway, they try to derive whatever knowledge the impersonal guru has. And after that, the same principle, okay, they derive knowledge from the guru. Similarly, they do worship Saligram Shilas. They do worship deity form of the Lord. And finally, at one point, they reject both guru as well as the deity. And why? Because they have become God. So why God has to worship anyone? I remember still reading one of the autobiographies of this so-called impersonalist yogi. So he was mentioning, I went to the temple. He was in search of the absolute. So I went to the temple, I saw the deity, and I meditated on the deity, saying that you and me are one and the same. So that kind of impersonal meditation, identifying the Lord to be the same as mine. So he did that meditation and he went somewhere like that. He was giving the whole description. So this is what they do. And when they have realized that they are God, I don't know how they realize, but after that realization, they reject both Guru as well as the deity. So Prabhupada gives the example of, we need ladder to climb upstairs. So one can climb up the ladder. And one levels the next level, then kick the ladder. So this is what they do. They kick their Guru, they kick the deity, they kick the process. Because according to them, the process and the means and the end are different. The means is by austerity and study of Shastra, and the end is bliss, just by merging into impersonal Brahman or whatever. For us, the means and the end are one and the same, so there is no question of rejection at whatsoever. And we are dependent eternally on the mercy. It's not that we are now dependent on the mercy, but we are eternally dependent on mercy of Krishna. So this is the difference. Okay. Is there any further questions or comments? If not, okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaur Premanande.